On page Kuf Ayin Vav, Halacha Kuf Pei Vav, we have a very, very bizarre halacha. Echad Noiladim Shinayim V'Zanav. There was a fellow that was born, and the baby had teeth. And that's not necessarily so uncommon. I mean, this is very rare. Okay, but there are stories. There are what?
He's born with teeth.
Yes. I don't know if it means a full set of teeth, but it says he had teeth. Vizanov. Now this is really back to ever such a thing?
No, and I used to do 102 points every month.
No such thing, okay? Dr. Friedman said.
No, I don't say no such thing, but I've never seen it.
Nevis and teeth? Without teeth?
Never,
never. Never.
The cockage.
And a tail? The tail?
A tail, maybe.
I've seen pictures. I've seen pictures.
Of a tail.
This? Mythical?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dormant.
Really?
It's an embryological development and it disappears.
The spine just grew longer.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. Okay, so it says here, Abay Sai, whatever this means, Echad, back in the day, 800 years ago, he's telling us a record. We believe him. We have a Muda in the Rav Yehuda HaChassid, Echad Noilad Im Shinayim Vizanov. Amar Anashim Labasoif Yoichal Bnei Adam. People said, this is a bad sign. They said, this child, this will one day eat up people. So in other words, Mutov Lahamisai. People were so disturbed when this baby was born. They wanted to kill the baby. They wanted to make do that's what they wanted to do. They were afraid. There was a wise man in the community that told the people, "Do not do. Don't you dare. It's murder. It's just because this baby has teeth and has a tail, does not mean he's any different than any other human being." Bring him to a dentist. Take out the teeth. And bring him to a surgeon and let him cut off the tail. He'll be like everyone else. We'll put him in a yeshiva. He'll grow up. He'll do a good shidduch and he'll be fine. Okay, v'lo yuchal lahazik, and he won't be able to cause any harm.
What?
The adult, he will grow in it. Right, exactly. So what is he telling us? I mean, why is he telling us this? You know, there are certain things. Certain thing today is desktop publishing. Anyone can just in the middle of there while they're sleeping will just go type and they'll publish online. You know, nonsense. Okay, the whole world is full of nonsense. Back, 800 years ago, people went to the effort to write something down and to publish something. It had to be good. No one would be so foolish to go and write things that had no just nonsense. Where you go write the ABC, that's where you go through the effort of pumping it. People didn't have paper. People didn't have ink. People didn't know what to live. If he's writing this, obviously,
someone had a copy of it.
Exactly. So what is this all about? Well, I need a book that was written 800 years ago to tell me this. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? A person is born with a defect. If you can go to a surgeon and you could have it corrected, so go to the surgeon, have it corrected. So what is going on over here? So the first answer is I have really no idea. Okay, that's obvious. But you have to understand that we're not over here reading a fairy tale book over here. We're not over here reading something today. But like I told you, someone in their sleep and go and just sit in front of their computer and type and then go send it off to an online print on demand. I recently helped someone publish a Kuntres, and he didn't have any money, so he did a print on demand. So it was a lot of fun to do it. And in the process, I discovered there were only at least 20 different companies, services out there that do this all over the country. Go type it on the print on demand. You'll have literally 20 different companies. I suspect they're all the same. I suspect that they're all the same, and they're just different names, and it's just a way of making money. It's not all the same. Of course they charge. Of course they charge. But it's not. What? No, by the book. basically, that's the today. This even art school does this now. I've been told today printing it used to be in the olden days. How do you, when you print the book, you print, let's say, a few thousand copies, a thousand copies, and it has to be done in a certain way. You can't go print one book at a time. It's not economical to print one book at a time. Today, the style is by many, you print one book at a time. You have a kiosk. They have in some airports. I don't know if it's still pop. I know something that was his Parnassa for a long time. He worked for Barnes & Noble. He was on the team where they had basically in airports, it looks like a refrigerator, and there's a very nice computer screen. And you can basically, on the spot, look through a million different titles. And of course, you know, they're promoting the more common, the more recent novels that just came out from all the big authors. And you select what you like, you put your credit card in, and in 3 minutes, like a vending machine, it spits out the book. The machine itself has the paper, has the resource connected to the internet to get the text, and the machine itself, within a matter of minutes... No, it's already, everything is not a font, it's a PDF. It's a PDF. It's basically a photocopy. And the machine, on the spot, spits out the book. I've never seen this machine myself in any airport, but supposedly I have someone I dived with, and he used to work at Barnes & Nobles, and he was on working in this department. I think they shut it down. I think they stopped it. He has another job now, but I think they stopped. But it's a kiosk. Print on demand, and so like a soft cover, and most of them you only can do soft cover. The technology, it's not profitable for them to do it hard covered. You can do it hard covered also now. Amazon used to do this. Amazon had their own, but Amazon is not popular anymore. They have much better companies that do it cheaper and better than Amazon. Amazon, they still have their print on demand service, but that's the way it works today. Today you want to buy a book. They don't have a warehouse with a million books out of print. Nothing's out of print anymore. You want to buy the book, they print it on the spot. I've been told that Art Scroll does this now. Art Scroll, it's not worthy for them to have an unstock every single book. They have a very big catalog, and every single book is in such high demand. When there's a certain book someone wants, they print it, they bought the machine themselves. So they print the book on demand. It's not going to be the same quality, a hardcover, it's stitched. They can't go stitch it together, the pages, like they do on a good quality book, but it's glued, and it's done in a very professional way, and for most people, it's fine. It's more than... Hebrew Books does it also. Hebrew Books, they do it through a service. Hebrewbooks.org does it through a service. Okay, there are a lot of services. So I was doing work with someone, so it was amazing. It was a lot of fun, and we found there are only 20 services that do this for you. All different ways, all different prices. It came out a book for a soft covered book that's really good quality. Was about, I would say, 200 pages. Was about $4.50, 6x9. $4.50. $4. You go online, you make an account. This is 6x9. This is 6x9. Right? 6x9. This is about 500 pages. So half, like, let's say 200 pages. Soft covered.
If you go home and print up the book yourself.
How are you going to print it up? Who's going to glue the pages together?
You're going to type it up and you feed it to them, and then they give it, spit it out.
They mail it to you. You charge them shipping also. they charge more for the shipping than they charge for the book itself. But if you bought a lot of books, about $5, not more than $5, let's say, for a book of 250 pages, soft covered, good quality also. Okay? So any yukul today can do whatever he wants. What, and they also get an ISBN number if you want. No, they have their own. They have their own catalog. We have all the services, but no one's going to buy it. You're not going to promote it. Not even one person in the world will buy it unless you yourself promote it. That's why you need a publisher. Also the prestige. Everyone knows, something that's published by Oxford is very prestigious. Okay? Something that's published by Art Scroll in the Jewish world is very prestigious. Publisher. Also, distribution. Who's going to get it out there for you? So that's a whole different story. But if you want to just publish it privately and give it out to your friends and family, or you want to market it yourself. You're a famous person. You want to go tell everyone about your book. You want to promote it. If Rush Limbaugh says I published a new book, and anyone who wants it, he doesn't need it. And if it has a publisher, it's much more prestigious. But he can sell a million copies just by making an announcement. Everyone will. So I mean, that's a different issue. But today, we're so brainwashed. It's so easy today to do something like this. But again, you have to appreciate 800 years ago, that's not the way it worked. No one had access to print, to publish anything. There wasn't even invented the printing press yet. So if he wrote this, which seems to us very bizarre or very simple, we're missing the point. Obviously, there's an enormous amount of depth here that's in the statement that must be understood, that it was worthy for a holy person like Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid to go through the effort of writing this down and this being incorporated into a book that took enormous amount of mesiras nefesh for it to be produced. So a person is born with teeth and a tail, and there were people in society that was you have to go back into society. Today would be a criminal to kill an animal. Today is a criminal act. If you kill an animal today, if you hit a dog, if you're driving a car and you hit a dog, you have to stop, they can arrest you. If you don't stop the car, I can run. Okay? So a child, a human being, that's born with teeth and a tail to kill a child? Yeah?
I think this is a mashal. It says, Ayu Pere Adam Yivaled. A person is born like an animal.
Yeah?
Like an animal. You have to educate him to take out his teeth, his sharpness, to take out his animal part, which is
Zahar. Instincts, the tail. So you think this is a marshal for every single person? Okay, fine. That's one parish. It's a marshal for every single person. Every person is born with bad instincts. Every person can yetzer leif hadam ra min urav. It's a marshal of Kalmanis, and this is a marshal for every single person. They're born with instincts to bite and to wag their tail.
What do you do?
Education, discipline, musar. It's a whole life. It's a whole life to prepare to nurture a person.
Even Adam educated, he's mu'ad tamid.
Adam mu'ad li'olam. Adam mu'ad li'olam.
He
becomes a bigger Adam. Educated,
if you don't give a person musa, you're right. That's what happens.
I think he's doing it. Another possibility in my mind is that the person wants a child to look perfectly. On. If some child, he's just saying, if he has a defect, even if he has these really a weird defects, he's still a human being. And you don't have a right to murder a human being. I mean, I think he's making a point of a moral story. Right? He goes, it's like a parable, really. He says, what if your child is this way? I think he'd be exaggerating for effect here. Just to make a point about the
okay, obviously everyone here, Baruch Hashem, has a different understanding of what this means. But the common denominator is to appreciate there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of depth here in what he's trying to say, and it's for us to uncover the deeper meaning behind these words. Let's go to the next halachah, Pezayin. Harotzeach, here, Rabbi Yosef, please. Harotzeach, lo yisa, eishes, hanirtzach. And some of these things seem to be simple, but there's a halacha. A murderer should not marry the widow of his victim, because obviously people are going to suspect that he murdered the man in order to marry his wife. The man he knows that he has an attraction to, la yikach bita o ima, should not marry this woman's mother or his daughter, because he's putting himself in the nisoyon. We mispal every day velo lidei nisayon, velo lidei bizayon. Usually, if we have a nisayon, we will fail, and it will come lidei bizayon. So what are you doing in going marrying her daughter or her mother when the one that you really like is the other woman, and by marrying the mother or daughter, you'll be always in contact with the relative, and you'll be nichshol. Lo yigach bito ima lefishem etzuya loy shema yechateba v'chol kayotze b'zeh. Next, lanush shama kuretzech maki nevesh bishko gabli b'vlidas v'hoyu lachem. Now we're discussing killing a person inadvertently. He makes a drasha remez b'sef etevus hayosayim. Here, you take the look at the end letters of shama. Okay, lanush. He's ignoring the letter, the first word. But the last letter of the word, I'm sorry, makay, which letters? Remez b'soifei teveis ha-yosom. He makes the letters in big. He shows you. So he shows you over here in this pasuk in Yeshua. He takes the last letter of the word bishkaga bivli das v'hoyu lochem remez b'sefei tevis ha-yosom. Now not finished yet. Then when it goes on to say l'miklot migoel hadam, those three letters sefei tevis lehepach backwards is malate. So what does it mean over here? Yosoim malate. What does that mean exactly? Yosom should the yosoim, the orphan should escape. What does that mean? What's the pasuk coming to me? Rames. So loymar im harak ha'av malate yosoim yisaimav kidei shaloyu nifroim meheira mimenu. If a person kills a father, the murderer, even though it was inadvertent, should be good to the yisaimim. He should pay for their tuition. He should take an interest in them and help them out, because if he does not help them out, they will come and one day take revenge against him. There are people that only live. Only reason why they're alive is because other people, the very scary principle, they're needed in this world. In other words, sometimes he writes a very frightening idea, that there are certain people who have really no merit to live with their own right. There's no purpose in them sticking around. They have nothing to accomplish. However, if they serve someone else's purposes. There's another person out there that needs them. That needs them to support them, needs them for their company, needs them for whatever it is. The person himself has nothing positive on his own that's unique to contribute. But because he brings benefit to someone else, so that's enough. That's enough for a person to survive in this world. That's a very scary thought. That's what Chazal always tells. A person should put himself in that position. A person should make himself available to other people and provide services for other people. So just in case Hashem does not see any need for him to be here in this world for his own purpose, but being that he's a service, he's of a benefit to someone else, that's enough. Like they say, if a tzaddik would have agmas nefesh, that someone else would leave this world, that itself is enough to keep the person alive in this world. Because Hashem, there's a fellow whose time already has come. His time has come. But if he's going to leave this world, there's going to be agmas nefesh. People are going to be upset. It's not a pleasant experience to hear that someone left this world and all the collateral damage. That itself is a reason why Hashem will say, you know, this fellow is going to stick around for a long time. He has nothing to contribute. So what? Just the fact that his absence will cause grief to someone else, that itself is a reason for the person to remain in this world.
The existence has no purpose.
I don't know what that means. You can't say it has no purpose. It could be that there's not a purpose enough. I don't listen. I don't know. These are just words. You're right. You're saying very good. How can you say such a thing? Every person has a purpose. I don't know. But the principle we can appreciate to a degree, that sometimes a person does not have enough merit on it. Let's just put it in these words. Existence is a purpose. But you need a zuchus to stick it out, to be around in this world. Every moment in life, we have a emuna, every moment of life in this world is priceless. What it does for the neshama in preparation of the next world is priceless. Chayesha, one moment being alive in this world, even doing nothing, just looking at the scenery of this world, has an effect on the neshama in the next world that's priceless. But you need zuchusim. A person needs merit to be alive. So what zuchus do you have? What good have you done today that you deserve to be alive and to prepare your neshama for the olam ha'emes?
How about people who are very, very involved, who a lot of mitzvahs, and they die? Just the opposite.
Tzadik v'ra'aloi, you're right. I, there is no answer. There is no answer.
No, the question is better than the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's look at it from this point of view. What sometimes you have a person, it's just the opposite. He has no merit. He has mamish, no merit. So what is he doing here? Why was he zoche to be alive and to condition his neshama for the future when he has no merit? The answer is because he is part of a group of people who do have a lot of merit. He's part of a chevra. He's part of a group. And the group are tzaddikim, and they together, the collective, the tzibur, they're incredible. And Hashem has tremendous nachas. And Hashem knows that if this fellow, who really has no merit to be nene from this world, would leave them, it would cause them grief. So Hashem says, I don't want to cause the chevra grief. So I'm going to let this person continue to exist and be nene from this world, even though he doesn't deserve it for his own rights, just because he's part of a chevra who is a good chevra, and I don't want to cause them any grief. That's, I think we've all heard that principle every so often. They all survived. Part of a group. That's part of the importance of being part of a group, part of a tzibur. You get to survive on their coattails. They have a zchusim, I'm part of it, so even though I myself do not have merit, I'm part of the chevra that can push you over the top.
It's like a minion. Everybody's part of the minion.
Everyone's part of the minion. And okay. Hashem is not moyes tzibur. Hashem will always find favor in tzibur, and it changes the dynamics. So here he's saying a similar principle. A person is in trouble. A person committed murder, inadvertently. And now he has to go to Golis, whatever the situation is. He has to go to Golis. You know, there's a lot of collateral damage. The family, they are Yisraelim. Who's doing homework with them? Who's paying their tuition? Who cares for them? They don't have a father. They're affected. There's nothing to discuss. No matter what you're going to say, these children, they are deeply affected by the loss of her. Even though it was an accident, it's not my fault. It's not my fault that I killed him. What do you want from me? Okay, you're right. But, you know, look at the collateral damage. And that collateral damage affects you. Those Yisoyimim, their whole life, they're going to feel that they lost out, and they're going to point their finger at you. So you, there's a kitroik in Shemayim. What is this fellow doing alive? Why does he merit to live in this world, to be nene from this world, to prepare him for the Olam HaEmes, when he was the cause of grief to these people? They're complaining against him. So he has to counteract that complaint by doing something good for the Yisoyimim, for the victim's family, so they should not be as bitter as they ordinarily would, and the complaint against him in Shemayim should not be as great as it ordinarily would be. That's what he writes over here. Ratzel loymar, im hora ko'af, the Roshei Tevas of this pasuk is coming to teach us a principle that if a person, Rachmana L'Tzlan, killed the father, malait yosoim yisoimov. Malait means to escape, the yosoim yisoimov. Now, I don't know what he means over here, the repetition, the yosoim yisoimov, he should be good to them. Kidei shelo yiyu nifroim mehira mimenu, so that the yisoimim should not punish him or should not complain to him, complain about him to Shemayim, or maybe they'll come and murder him. Kiyesh adam, because of this principle, if you're going to be good to them, then you will continue to survive in this world because you are their beneficiary. Kiyesh adam she'en chai ela b'shvil acherim shenenim imenu. This is exactly what it says in Chazal about the mother of the Kohen Gadol. When there's a murder in Klal Yisrael inadvertently, murder has to go to the Ari Mikvah. When does he escape? When does he go home? When the Kohen Gadol dies. What did he have to do with their death? Gemara says something that we have a very hard time understanding. It's because of the Kohen Gadol that someone murdered inadvertently. If the Kohen Gadol would have been a bigger tzaddik, would have davened with more kavana, would have behaved in a more noble, upright way, it would not have happened that there would have been in Klal Yisrael an inadvertent murder.
You might put him.
Okay, that's what Chazal say.
Isn't this just the opposite of the Ari Mikvah? because the person that commits the accidental murder has to go away. So how can he take care of the people?
Money. Write a check. Money. Money. This is support. It's money.
Not if he's sitting and learning the Ari Mikvah. He's not making it.
It's life savings. That's right. Who says they didn't have jobs or miklat? Why didn't they have jobs? I'm sure they have plenty of opportunities. They need people. They need electricians. They need accountants. They need computer programmers. And they are in miklat just like they need them everywhere else. So lechari, he gets a job. And if he does not get a job, maybe he has some life savings. He has something he can offer them. So he has to wear a miklat. This is exactly what the Chazal said, that when it comes in the spiritual world, that the Kohen Gadol is his responsibility to be mispal for Klal Yisrael. He's the leader, that's his job, to see to it, the spiritual health. And if he is not up to the program, he's not focusing on what the tzibur needs, and someone gets killed by accident, it's his responsibility. It's his fault. And everyone knows that. And that's why when he dies, everyone goes free. Because to show that he was the one that was responsible for the death of all of the people who died. So what did the people do in the Ari Mikvah? What did they do? All the murderers, they couldn't wait until he died. They said to Hillel every day after davening that the Kohen Gadol should die. So what did the mother of the Kohen Gadol do? She brought them food. So then they said to themselves, think about it, they said to themselves, the only reason why she's bringing us food is because her son is alive. But when her son dies, we're getting out of here, and she's not coming to bring us food. So you know what? Maybe the Kohen Gadol should stay alive so that his mother can continue bringing us food. So the Kohen Gadol is only staying alive. Is this what he's saying over here? It's not the way you commonly think. The Kohen Gadol is only going to be alive because he needs to be alive so these people have a good lunch. He needs to be alive somewhere in this world. Isn't that how you take this to its natural conclusion? That's not the way you understand the Gemara. When you're in 8th grade and they teach him Masechta Makos, they don't teach it to you like that. They say very simple. The Kohen Gadol's mother did not want her son to die, so she bribed them. So when they said to Hillel after Mincha, they didn't say with Kavana. They didn't say with Kavana because they just got a good. How can we cause grief to this woman? That's a nice lady. She brought us some food. If her son's going to die, she's going to have grief, so we're not going to daven anymore. That's the simple understanding. But if you take what Sefer Hasidim says, it's a little bit different than that. There are people who only live in this world because they're necessary for someone else. The Kohen Gadol has to remain alive so that these individuals will have a good lunch. Nothing more than that. And it's not direct, it's all indirect. He's alive, he's sitting and learning in his little room over there, no one ever sees him. His mother now goes and brings lunch, and these people have a good meal, they're happy. But if he's going to die, the mother's not going to come anymore, and they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. They're going to go back home where they came from, and their wife is not going to give them such a good lunch every day. They're not going to be happy campers. So isn't that really what he's saying to a certain degree? Who knows how these things work? Like I always like to tell you, no one ever came back to tell us the way things work up there. All right, let's now go to the next halacha. Kuf peiches echad shebnoi ha'imir esadas. Rachmana litzlan. A person has a child who went up the derech. V'holach bein hanachem v'yasa kima'aseyen. V'hoyu ave v'imoy oiskim lo'itzil l'havil b'vatayem. And the parents have grief. And they are desperately trying to bring this son to v'choyzeh b'shuva. V'litzro le'maman sh'yashuv. What's going on over here? David, what's going on over here? It's not an office over here. And the coming of they're coming to collect money that he should return. The Chacham said, stop. Incredible thing. Sometimes trying too much can cause even more harm. Why? Kishamati. I heard your plan is that that what he's doing, the child is doing, he's trying to convince his brothers and sisters to also join him. What do we mean? You'll have regret. Kishamati sheroitze lasos eitzara. Your child wants to do a plan. Lehasisu ladich echa viach yosef, his brothers and his sisters. Leleches ben anachim. Ve'oidhu oimer ki kishahayu yehudi hoye mashlich bekeder besar nevela. When he was a make-believe Jew, he used to really trick everyone and put tarfus in the pots. Mutav shetazvuhu ben hanochim v'lo yachati acherim v'lo yachil dvarim hoasurim. He's saying over something that's shocking. Now this is, he's saying that over here in this situation, the parents wanted to get the child back. So the chacham said it's not a good idea. Let him remain among the goyim, because if he comes back, he'll never come back fully. He's not going to come back 100%. And he's going to do harm. He's going to influence your other children. And secretly, he's going to destroy your home. You're not going to even realize that he's going to make everything in the home non-kosher. So sometimes in life, you have to learn to cut your losses. And you have to just let go. It's not always that today. Now, I always tell you over and over, that almost everything that it says in Sefer Hasidim is Shaloi Halacha in our day and age.
It was that way.
What?
It was that way even in our day and age. It just changed.
I'm talking about today. Right, that's right. That's good. Well, yes and no. Yeah, every situation is different. You really, really cannot generalize. Even not so long ago. I don't know. My parents told me a lot of stories about these type of things. But even not so long ago, it all depends. I don't know. Exactly. But he's saying something. We learn Sefer Hasidim, we learn because it's our moral conscience. It's not necessarily halacha l'maisa, but it plants seeds in our minds that even though we do not actually do most of what he writes about, but there's a lot of painful truth in a lot of the things that he says. And he says over here, there's a child, he went off the derech, Rachmana Litzlan. Is it always in the best interest of the child to bring him back? Maybe it's not in his best interest. Maybe it's not in your best interest. And when that perspective is not even mentioned today. Today, Rachmana Litzlan, if you hear these stories, it's you do everything you can possibly do. What? Okay, it's very complicated. It's extremely, extremely complicated, these matters. Extremely
exactly.
Complicated.
Same thing then, it was complicated.
And right, it's right. And when he's saying over here, he's just coming to reassure people that sometimes you have to, that is the correct approach. In this particular case, bringing the child back would be worse for two reasons. He's going to destroy your home, and he's going to destroy the other children. Okay, that is today. Every case is different, but generally, you're not going to hear this today. Today, in 2019, you're not going to hear this out in the open. Maybe privately, go to a chacham. Privately, they'll say, you know, maybe hold off. In the meantime, let things run its course. But publicly, you're not going to hear this publicly. But he, Adarabba, he is publicly saying this is what should be done. And probably in his day, privately, he would be telling people, try to get the kid back. Right? Times change. Life is complicated. Every situation is unique. You cannot generalize. But it's important always to hear the other side. There's always in life, you learn over and over, there's always another side, another counter-argument. You think you know it all. You've seen it all. You don't know it all. You haven't seen it all. There's another avenue, another mahalich, and different strokes for different folks. It's not so simple.
Chesed organization is take responsibility to take him back and to put in an organization.
That's what he said. And he writes over here support. He quotes the pasuk. Chavur atzabim Ephraim hanachloi. Ephraim here is a reference to who? The Aseres HaShvatim. or some want to say it refers to the entire Klal Yisrael. And it says that Ephraim is cleaving to idols. Ephraim is Klal Yisrael, they are attached, chavur, to Atzabim Avod Zara. And you know what Hashem says? Hanachloi, let him. Let him worship the idols. He's not yet ready to come back. I told you, we just said that. I told you that. But the pasuk, that today we don't do this. Did I just say that? Today we don't follow this approach.
No, but maybe it's an approach. How do we know which is a better approach?
Because there are a lot of smart people out there who do this every single day, and they tell us that today's day and age, this is not an approach. That's why. Because there are people who work in this field, every single day and deal with hundreds of children, and they've seen everything, and they've been doing this for the year, and we trust them because they have experience. And we do know that, times change, situations change, and the facts on the ground in the time of the Sefer Hasidim 800 years ago is a lot different than the reality that there is today. And there are people who are professionals, and if they give us their expert advice that today this is not the best approach for the masses, maybe for individuals it's an approach, but for the tzibur it's not an approach, we trust them, we believe them. You go to a doctor because he has the experience. So you go, why any different? You go to a professional who deals in Kiruv V'Chaikim. And it's not just one. You're dealing over here with a whole community of people involved in Kiruv V'Chaikim. And you've never seen this in recent time. Maybe 30, 40 years ago, there were stories like this, that Enechnami, Hanachloi, but today, this is not the face of the organization of Kiruv V'Chaikim. It may be when you go into the office behind closed doors, a professional will tell you, you know, the kid's not ready yet. Give him some time, and then we'll work on him.
In those days, you had to do it yourself. Nowadays, we have intermediaries.
Well, they didn't have organizations in those days. I don't think they were so backward. They must have had. They must have had very sophisticated things. Maybe they did. Maybe the average person. I'm willing to bet had more seichel. Not everyone, than some of the biggest names today in the world of psychology. We see that. We know we grew up with people.
Sometimes an outside source might help. You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. But he's saying here, a yisoid, and he brings a fascinating pasuk, chavur atzabim Ephraim, kama. Ephraim is attached to Avodah Zarah. He went off the derech. He's in a very, very bad place. So you would think, emergency, Hatzalah, go rally the troops, go make an appeal, raise enormous amounts of money and do things and go Hanachloi. The best solution in this particular situation, leave him. Let him do what he's doing. It
depends on the case.
Exactly. Mutav Milakarvoy.
Let's
finish off. Motov, I think what he means is a rhetorical statement. Motov Milukarvoy, do you really think it's good to be Makarivim, Vichaber Esacherim, Loatzabim, Chas V'Sholim? I believe the way he's interpreting the pasuk. I read it as a comma. Chavur atzabim Ephraim hanachloi. He seems to be reading it more as a rhetorical statement. Do you think it's good that chavur atzabim Ephraim? Ephraim will cause other people to worship idols if we are mekar of him. Therefore, hanachloi, leave him be. Leave him be. Yeah, it is scary. But it's important. It's an important message to get into your head that sometimes the best solution is no solution. Because all the solutions cause more collateral damage than just leaving it the way it is. Not every problem has a solution.
They used to sit
Shiva. That's right. My parents told me stories. My parents told me the names of the people. Parents, they mamish saturated. Today, you never ever would hear such a thing today. 2019.
Didn't Rav Teitz do that?
Rav Teitz Shiva?
I think, yeah, after one. That's what I heard.
My parents told me stories of people who sat Shiva with their child went off the derech. Their mama sat Shiva. Today, you will never hear such a story. No way. 2019, impossible. What changed?
Everybody thinks they're a miracle maker.
What changed today? Obviously, it's different today.
There's an organization called Amundim, and they deal with, especially in the prison community, people who are very addicted to all different kinds of things. So he said very, this is what the man said, I was listening very carefully, he said that sometimes in families where they have one kid that's really off, you know, that's really off, that they want that child out of the house because they're afraid of the
influence.
But he said, I'll tell you what he said, I remember very clearly, he said no, he said they find that when they take one child and they marachik him, that is more of a reason for the other kids to follow. It's better when they, and this is what he said, when the kid is still in the home and they deal with it. He said to be marachik him, that will draw the siblings more.
Interesting.
That's what he said.
Okay. So you need professionals.
Yeah.
Every situation is different. He's saying mamash the opposite. Every situation is different.
The purpose of this pasuk, it's going to say to be united. If they are of the Avodah Zarah, they are coming back. Once one of them understand that Avodah Zarah is no good, everybody going follow him. But if they are believing Hashem and they are not united, problem with it.
Okay. Okay.
And also, I saw that once. A few years ago in New Jersey, someone was in the jail, and they go and tell him, if you go to report something that the Jewish people do, we are going to release you. He says that in Shaare Zion, there is a rabbi that is going to cash the checks, this, that, and federal. If we are going there and caressing, and the father after that is going to...
Okay, let's go further. Okay, go, good. Let's go further. Kuf Peites. V'im lichacham talmidim v'yachares l'kanteres harav. Rabbi Isai. The person has a student. V'yachares l'kanteres harav v'yes ha-talmidim v'yes ha-talmidim chaveirav. Okay, you have a bad student. A student who makes trouble. A student that influences the other students in order to provoke the Rebbe. Got a troublemaker in school. He's talking about chinuch habanim.
Instigator.
In this instance, to get rid of him, to remove the student from the class. Shenemar, goresh leitz, drive out the leitz. The student that mocks. He mocks the Rebbe.
Not when his parents are paying a lot of money.
Then it'll never happen. It'll never happen. The yetzei modoin. And by removing the student who is a mocker, you will save yourself from strife. V'chein le'inyin avodim mushvachos, workers, the workplace, when you have a worker, an employee that is disruptive. This is very common. See, when you talk about Talmidim, it makes the news when a Rebbe throws out a Talmud of the yeshiva or out of the class. But in the workplace, when you have an employer and he has a team of employees and there's one person that's always coming to undermine the employer, so the employer very quickly knows how to dismiss, to make it very uncomfortable for this employee to stick around. He doesn't steal any money. He didn't commit a crime. He doesn't go and confront the employer directly, but he has a very bad influence on the other employees. Look at the political field. I don't have to go give you examples, but go look what goes on in Trump's administration. Okay, if you follow people, anyone that says Lashon Hara, he just fired his personal, have you ever read about that article? He just fired his personal assistant, personal secretary. He does, like, why? And she never in a million years saw it coming. Never saw. She thought that she was his daughter almost. Read the article. Because she spoke Lashon Hara about Trump's family. Like a little small talk Lashon Hara.
Off the record,
she said Lashon Hara. And it got back to Trump. You say Lashon Hara about me? fired. In an instant. In an instant, she was fired. Why? You don't want people who work for you undermining you. You don't want this. You don't need this. Okay? Ella le'oisan shebebayis rabbeisa, please. Mutav le'garsha shemavakshim mekama al oisay sheyesh b'yad limchais, because it is good to drive him out. Shemavakshim mekama al oisay sheyesh b'yad limchais ve'in emoicha, they will seek revenge against those who have in their power to limchais ve'in emoicha or b'yad le'garish ve'in emogarish. So I don't. What does he mean over here? Shemavakshim nekama. They will seek revenge on those people who have in their power to protest but do not. Or biyadu lugarish or nugarish. It seems that in Shemayim, I don't know. The other people? They will take revenge. They will take revenge on the balabais. They're angry. In other words, I think it's something a little bit different in the second section. I didn't translate it correctly. And that, let's say you have a word in the workplace, you have an employee who is disruptive to the other employees, but he's not making trouble for the balabais. There are two different situations. You have a situation where you have a Rebbe, and the Rebbe is trying to teach, and there's a bad student who is instigating the other students to rebel against the Rebbe. So there you want to get rid of the bad student for your own good, because he's causing you trouble. But then you have a situation where the student, let's say he's in a workplace where he's not causing the employer or the Rebbe any trouble. He's the best student. Everything is good. But he's making it very uncomfortable. He's abusive to the other students, or he's abusive to the other employees. And they complain to the employer, you know, we have a very unpleasant environment with this guy, he's a nasty guy. He may be very good to you, he may get the job done, he may bring in business for you, but he's making our lives miserable, and you also need us. If you don't have us, then you're going to go out of business. So the employer says, listen, as long as the money comes in, I don't care, live with it. So they resent it. And the day will come when they have an opportunity to take revenge against the employer. So just for your own good, for your own good, even though you are successful and the money is coming in, it's not good that your other employees should have to suffer with an abusive employee. And they're going to always blame you for not going and coming to their defense. Avol b'mei nekes. And this is a mashal as well, but let us say you have a nurse, a wet nurse, that is sustaining your child, and this wet nurse is a misery for other people in the bias. Okay, you have a whole team of employees working in your house, and this person is just making everyone miserable, but the problem is she has you over the barrel, because if you fire her, then your child will starve. Because the only one that the child wants to nurse from is from her. So that far, you obviously can go to the Devarim Pshutim. We'll take a very short break. I will talk about Chodesh Elul, just for a little bit.